worship God in spirit and truth this morning, but He's blessed us to be able to do that again at the near close of this day of life, and we ought to be grateful for that. I appreciate the good scripture reading that was done, the songs that were led in such good fashion. Appreciate Ray for that, and appreciate the mention of me in prayers. I appreciate the attitude that was verbalized in that last prayer that we need to be true to the book. I assure you, I don't want to preach anything that's not harmony with the Bible. I'm not perfect, never have been, never will be. And if I get something wrong, it's not going to be on purpose. And so if I'm not true to what the Bible says, and I hope that you'll love me enough to point that out, that I can make correction of it, never preach it again, that God would always be well pleased with the things that I say. I appreciate so very much, again, for the number of visitors that we have tonight. We appreciate you for being here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity. Some of you have been with us so many times, I think we're just going to keep you. So we appreciate you being here and spending this time together with us. Well, we're going to talk about a very simple topic, as I put on the board, the gospel of Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about that subject, the gospel. And there's a lot of different directions that one could go as you think about the gospel of Christ. And we know that there isn't but one gospel. The Bible points out very simply in Ephesians 4:10, verse 5, that there is but one faith. And that's even more solidified, as if that wasn't enough, but even one verse, if that is all that it is stated in, would be enough, wouldn't it? It's also stated in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and following, that they had so soon removed themselves from Him who had called them unto the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, he says. There isn't but one gospel. And I'd like for us to think about the gospel. You know, there's a lot of things that are accomplished by the gospel of Christ. For example, in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible says that we are called by the gospel. God doesn't call us like so many claim today by some verbal calling where He's going to nudge on your heart or whisper your name in your ear. The Bible says that we are called by the gospel of Christ. That is the Word of God. And the Bible says that the gospel saves, 1 Corinthians 15:1 and following. It is a power of God that is a power of the means that God employs to save man. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. I want us to think about specifically, in our short time together, some things that are accomplished with the gospel. Or rather, some things that you can do with the gospel. The first one that I want you to think about is preaching it. You can preach the gospel. Now, things that are accomplished by the gospel is a good lesson in and of itself, but I want us to think about things that can be done with the gospel. The first one, that you can preach it. It's preachable. In 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn to these passages with me, don't take my word for the things that we say. I assure you they're very simple points, substantiated on the pages of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 12, Paul says, furthermore, when I came to Troas, now watch this, Paul, why did you come to Troas? When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. A lot of preaching is done today, but what folks are proclaiming, that's what the word preach means, to proclaim something, they're not preaching the gospel of Christ. They're preaching a lot of things, but not what the Bible teaches. And we've got to stick, as the brother led in the prayer, we've got to stick with what the Bible says. And so Paul says, I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. And then over in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, and in verse 14, Paul penned to the church at Corinth, he says, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also. Why? In preaching the gospel of Christ. Preaching the gospel of Christ is important. Men and women cannot obey what they don't know. That's made clear in Romans chapter 10. We talked about the proclamation of the Word of God. How can they hear it? How can they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And so forth. And He makes that statement in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 15, and in verse 19, Paul's writing to the saints at Rome. And he says, "There are mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about until Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." I enjoy preaching the gospel. I hope that I never see the day when I'm not able to do that. I don't know. Maybe for some reason, for health or some other reason, I may not be able to do that. Maybe my mental faculties won't work. I don't know. But I hope all the days of my life I can proclaim the gospel of Christ. But I also need to have that in its proper place. Have that attitude of humility. As Paul would state in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. When Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel of Christ, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Just because I preach the gospel doesn't make me any better than you do, than you are." You see. He says, "I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." As long as I have opportunity and the ability, I have the responsibility to proclaim the message of Christ. And so the gospel can be preached. Many of you preach the gospel of Christ. You teach the gospel. And you're blessed to have so many that's able to do that. In Acts 20, verses 26 and 27, Paul said, "For I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men." Why, Paul? "For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I dare not to hold back on any topic as I stand before you, but to just simply preach what the Bible teaches." But also, as you think about the gospel of Christ, I want us to understand and appreciate that you can be ashamed of the gospel. That's not right if you are, but the gospel can be ashamed of, because Paul stated in Romans 1, verse 16 again, "For I'm not ashamed, therefore it's inferred that you can be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek or the Gentile." Now notice what the Lord stated in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 26. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me," the Lord said. Not only him, but notice what also he says. "And of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's with his holy angels." Don't be ashamed of Christ and his words. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. But boldly proclaim what the good book says. Can you appreciate that? Are you willing to do that, by the way? Don't be timid about that. But do that at every opportunity that you have. Someone says, "Preacher, I don't know if I've got the nerve to just open my mouth." You want me to give you a good suggestion on how to break that? If you're not sure you have the nerve to do that, are you ready? The next time you have opportunity, open your mouth. That's the best way to overcome that. I can relate to that. I can relate to that notion. There's times when I'm not so sure if I can just open up my mouth at the time and say something. And the best way to overcome that is open your mouth. Very simple. Don't be ashamed of the Lord and of His Word. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. But also, as you think about the gospel of Christ, did you know that the gospel can be hindered? It can be hindered for a number of reasons, probably in a number of ways. But Paul stated, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 12, "If others be partakers of this power or right over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." And in the context of this, he's talking about the right of a gospel preacher to be supported. Some folks sometimes ask the question, is there Bible authority for a gospel preacher to be supported from the Lord's treasury? Well, indeed it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about that. But a preacher's got to be wise enough when to say yes to support and when to say no, thank you, I'm okay. Because sometimes the gospel can be hindered as a result of taking support. So Paul says, nevertheless, we have not used this right or this power, but suffer all things, lest the gospel, or lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Sometimes individuals are hindered. Not only the gospel, but in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 7. Paul's writing to the churches of Christ at Galatia. And notice what he says. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 18, Paul says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Folks can be hindered. The gospel can be hindered. But I have some wisdom along the way. But also the gospel can be perverted. I gave you a scripture earlier from Galatians chapter 1, but if you'll come back to that first chapter with me, notice what Paul says. When he talks about the fact that there is not another, that is, there is not another gospel, he says, but there be some that trouble you. Now, what were these doing that were trying to trouble the Christians? He says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I told you earlier that a lot of folks do a lot of preaching, but it's a perverted message. Now, how are you and I and all others going to know whether or not it's perverted? You can't believe everything you hear, can you? Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14 does away with the idea that you can believe everything coming down the pipe. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. He talks about by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, how am I going to know what's right and what's wrong? Got a book in your hand? Got a Bible in your hand? That's the only way. You got to have that attitude that is was expressed by the Bereans as recorded in Acts 17:11. When the Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, why were they more noble? In that they received the word with a readiness of mind. Now watch it. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Maybe you hear something and say, I'm not sure if that's what the Bible says. You know what you got to do? Get busy searching. See if it's what the Bible says, whether it's me or anyone else. And so the gospel can be perverted. Think about a statement over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Here it was, Paul and Barnabas were going out on what's referred to as these missionary journeys. They come to the island of Paphos, and Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn away Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, deputy of the country, who desired to hear the word of the Lord. Elymas, this sorcerer, was withstanding them. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 13, or verse 10 rather. Paul said, see if you think this is straightforward or sugar-coated. Which one? Paul said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Straightforward one. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, full of all subtlety, that means trickery, being sly, cunning, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And so the gospel can be perverted. Don't obey a perverted message. Obey the gospel. But also, as you think about the gospel of Christ, we need to understand that it can be disobeyed. And there are eternal consequences to disobedience to what God has commanded for us to do. That's stated over in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8. The Lord will come back and and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now watch this for next to the last point. Which know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Have you obeyed? Are you disobeying the will of the Lord? You disobeying the gospel? Do something about it tonight. You don't have to leave. Not a Christian. Do something about it. We'd love to see you do that. We'll help you in any way that we can to become a Christian. Last point. As you think about the gospel of Christ, it's a good way to set up the invitation. And that is the fact that the gospel of Christ can be subjected to. That is obeyed. Being in subjection to what God would have us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 13, notice what is penned here as was read in our scripture reading. Ethan did a good job. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. And for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all or unto all men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, I practice what I preach, lest that by any means I be condemned, stand condemned on the great judgment day after I've told others what they must do. What the preacher preaches has to start with him. He's got to practice what he preaches. You agree with me? We all need to obey. But should you be in the audience this evening, not a Christian, you may say, Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, it's simple. You do what they did in the Bible to be saved. I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. You know, I don't know how many people obeyed the gospel in the first century, known only unto God. And the Bible tells us that there were thousands of people who obeyed. I want you to think about that. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that about 3,000 people were added unto them. And later on in the book of Acts, the Bible says there were about 5,000 people. And then the Bible says the church was this growing multitude daily was obeying the gospel. And you know, we don't have a divine record of every one of those examples of conversion. We couldn't carry the Bible if we had a specific example of all the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. And out of all those thousands of people that obeyed, we've got just a handful, as it were, of examples of people who became Christians. So if someone says, Preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, why not just go to the book and find out what those few examples of people who obeyed did. What you find that they did was that they heard the gospel. Every example in the book of Acts began, example of conversion, began with individuals first hearing the Word of God. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11:6. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So you have to hear. You have to believe it. Repent of your sins, the Lord commanded, Luke 13:3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ, like the eunuch did when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and in verse 37. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Someone says, why on earth do I have to do that, preacher? Because the Bible says, for, that is directional, unto the remission of your sins. Not because they've already been remitted. That's not what the Bible teaches. Unto, so that, for, the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. See how simple that is? When you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5, and you'll be added to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ. Acts 2 and in verse 47. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that in the past, but you're not faithful. You realize that, and like the prodigal son, you want to come home and be restored. God wants you to come home too. So do we. And so God's made provision that you can be restored by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. All things are ready. Are you? If so, come right now.